the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hello, hello. Now, good Johnny morning. Hebert is with Everybody. Us because it is Wednesday. It is not Tuesday. I'm having trouble this week. Are y'all having trouble this week with
no,
that?
No, I'm a day ahead.
Oh, you
so
think it's
my
Thursday?
Brain already thinks it's Thursday.
Oh, boy. That's not
that's
good.
A problem.
Yeah, that's a real no. short week that's not going to happen. Wow.
All I know is I can walk outside and walk back in and I'm not covered in sweat. I think there's a change in the air.
It feels great out there. Yeah. Quite strange.
It really does. Yes. It's a beautiful day and the tomb is still empty and we are still redeemed. Hallelujah. So we're remembering Blessed Claudio Granzato today. And in fact, we've got a theme kind of going today of sacred art and Catholic tradition. Catholic art and beauty. So let's get our day started in prayer in that vein, right? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, as we reflect today on the power of art, music, and beauty to reflect your splendor, may we be ever mindful that our lives are your greatest creation. May we use our gifts and our talents in a manner that brings glory to your name, and may our bodies be a living sacrifice of praise, holy and acceptable to you, and a light to the nations. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Claudio Granzato,
pray for us.
Pray for us. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, starting off with Johnny's Gospel Reflection at 7 after. You definitely want to stay tuned on Johnny's insights on today's readings. I always look forward to those, Johnny. So thank you for joining us today to give us your reflection. In 18 minutes, Dr. Ansel Augustine joins us. He's the director of the Office of Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and they have a ton of things coming up. One of them we've been talking about for quite some time. It's the upcoming Gospel Music Festival, and of course, some updates to hear what they are up to in the Archdiocese. In 35 minutes, Dina Dow joins us. She's the director of the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And today we are talking about evangelization and sacred art. And in 48 minutes, Jason Angelette joins us. He's the director of faith and marriage for the Willwoods community in the New Orleans area. And today we are talking about upcoming marriage retreats in the Archdiocese. So looking forward to these wonderful guests and their support for Catholic Community Media. And I did want to say that we have had so many events being submitted to us because there's a lot of things going on this fall, Advent, and you guys, even in January,
wow.
You guys have been sending a lot of January events, which is great. But if you have an event, you can send it to us. It's absolutely free at our website at ccmedia.live. Click on Events and News, then click on Submit Your Event. You can send as many events as you want. We'll talk about it on our morning show right here and post it on our website calendar, which is greatly viewed. Lots of people look at our calendar. So it's just free advertisement for you and your parish. Let us be your voice for your community. Another thing, Dave, Catholic Man Night.
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday, November 8th. That's
Wednesday,
coming up.
Wednesday, November 8th. And I got to tell you, this is the part that's blowing my mind. I can't believe how tickets are selling, Gabby. I mean, they're selling quick. I believe we might be a little over halfway sold out, and this is early. So if you're interested in this, I knew you've been there before. You better log on ccmedia.live and register.
Yeah, stay with us. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 4. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, it's one of these scenes, just you love to kind of enter into it. You can relate so much to it, can't you? Mm-hmm. This healing going on in Peter's house. So let's put ourselves in the scene there. You know, the first thing that jumps out at you here is this, is we're witnessing this far-reaching power of the Son of God. Jesus, who calmed the sea, is now rebuking fevers. He's rebuking demons, and he's shutting them up, you know, lest they create obstacles for his mission. Jesus is already splitting the world in two between life and death. He's on the offense here, freeing even to this day us of our demons. The second thing that really jumps out is this a power of intercession, isn't it? How the apostles intercede for Peter's mother-in-law. And as members of the body of Christ, how we also can effectively help in that mission and interceding for others through our prayers. I love how the distribution of communion to the homebound is that in action, isn't it?
That's true.
So the Lord's never too busy to hear our prayers and give us what we need, and through his saints to help us, both in heaven and on earth. And the third, you know, I love the example here of Peter's mother-in-law of how to respond. She's a model. She lets others bring Christ to her, open to that. She's touched internally by God, and then she's healed physically, but immediately gets up out of bed, and she doesn't ask, "What are all these people doing here, Peter?" You know,
right.
She allows Jesus to continue on his mission, because with him doing that, he was able that same day to go out and heal so many more. What an example for us to be on the way and not in the way. And I love this other example here too, of point being that a note to beware that the good news, beware of any good news or of the gospel that comes from those who despise it. Jesus knows these demons are going to twist, distort, and lie about him, deter him from the cross, and it's better just to shut them up, which he does. Mm-hmm. And so we really have to be aware of, even today, the suppression and the anti-Christian slant that goes on in many news outlets today. Can you imagine them covering this event in the gospel on modern news channels? I don't think they would even cover them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, point is, most importantly, what a model of for us in terms of how we react in times of panic, in times of fear, lots of voice going on, lots of doubt. It reminded me, you remember that scene in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart? And the run on the bank has happened, and in that moment, everyone's panicking. Mm-hmm. And evil Mr. Potter is scheming to take advantage of all the townspeople. And Jimmy Stewart tries to calm down the people there, and he says, "Don't you see what's happening here?" Remember this scene?
Yeah.
"Don't you see what's happening here? Potter isn't selling, he's buying." Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're panicking, and he's not. And he goes on to say, "Now, we can get this through this thing all right. We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith." And I think Jesus may be saying that to us, you know, our moments of panic. "Don't you see what's happening here, Johnny?" You know, Satan wants to take advantage of you at your weakest. We can get through this together. You've got to have faith in me.
That's interesting. You're kind of sounding like Gary Zimak, you know, when we have him on. It's just, even if it's just for today, we're going to get through this just for today.
Yeah.
All your anxieties and everything, just hang on. We're going to weather this, right?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. It reminded me of that story, a true story that happened. It was many years ago, and it was about a young 15-year-old boy and his father were traveling. This boy was taking flying lessons, and they were going about near the airport, and they saw this trainer plane crash. And the boy shouts out, "Dad, stop the car," and he runs out to the field. And there was his friend, actually an older friend, was taking lessons, and this friend died in this young boy's arms. Oh, so he's very upset. You know, that night they get home, and he just goes straight to his room, and his parents are very concerned, you know. So late that night, his mom goes in to check on him. He's asleep, and she sees that he's been writing in his journal, and what he wrote was the qualities of Jesus. And he wrote humility. But one of the things was that he remained close to God. And so it was obvious to his mother that this young man was turning to the Lord at that moment. Of course, they're real concerned about their son, you know.
Sure.
The same could happen to him. And so his mother was praying for him this whole time, she wrote later. And so a few days later, the boy comes down, and mom and dad ask him, you know, do you still want to take flying lessons? And the boy said, "Mom, I hope you and Dad understand, but with God's help, I have to continue to fly." Hmm. And this was grew up to be Neil Armstrong, the first man who walked on the moon.
Okay.
And so you see this, Yeah. He responded to this strategy not by panicking, but by listening to the master, trusting in him, not his fear. And so in doing, he became part of a much greater plan, opening the way for others. One of the quotes of Neil Armstrong was, "I guess we all like to be recognized not for one piece of fireworks, but for the ledger of our daily work." And I think Peter's mother-in-law was, we reading about her today, the ledger of her daily work freed the Lord to continue on his journey. All right, guys, so I think today, you know, we have to look for ways to proclaim the kingdom by following our calling, going first to the Lord with our pain, interceding for others, getting up and doing our daily work as part of a bigger plan, and allow the Lord to rebuke those who distort the truth, and to stay together, you know, in a world that's in desperate need of healing.
My goodness.
So a lot for us today in our gospel reading.
That's a nice story too, Johnny, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. So yeah. That was pretty good. He was Neil Armstrong. So that's amazing.
Well, we've stay with us. Dr. Ansel Augustine, the director of the Office of Black Catholics in the Archdiocese, is going to update us about an upcoming gospel music festival. It's quarter past the hour, pretty much everywhere. Be right back on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 6th. Today we celebrate Blessed Claudio Granzato. Throughout history, many saints have used their gifts of preaching, teaching, and writing to spread the gospel. Blessed Claudio Granzato used his artistic skills to turn people toward God. When Pope John Paul II beatified the Italian-born sculptor in 1994, the Holy Father called him a model for all religious artists who search for God's beauty. Born near Venice, Italy in 1900, Claudio knew struggle from an early age. The youngest of nine children, he was accustomed to hard work in the fields. At the age of nine, he lost his father. 6 years later, he was drafted into the Italian army. After Claudio completed his military service, his life changed radically. He studied at Venice's Academy of Fine Arts and showed a special interest in religious art. When he entered the Franciscan Order several years later, his parish priest wrote, "The order is receiving not only an artist, but a saint." Prayer, charity to the poor, and artistic work characterized his life, which was cut short by a brain tumor. Blessed Claudio died in 1947 on the Feast of the Assumption. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Dr. Ansel Augustine. He's the director of the Office of Black Catholic Ministries in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he's going to be giving us an update of what their office is up to. And it's a lot. They have a wonderful event coming up that we will learn a little bit more about. Good morning, Dr. Ansel. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be with you all.
Well, we are so excited to have you join us because there is an exciting event happening in the Archdiocese, and that is the Gospel Music Festival. We've been teasing it for so long. So can you give us some details about this one?
Yes. So this has been going on for a little bit over 10 years. And this year, we've been, with the blessing of the family, we have named it after the late, great shepherd, Bishop Fernand Cherie III, OFM. So it's the Bishop Fernand Cherie III, OFM Gospel Music Festival. And with his love of gospel music and the family's treasure trove of gospel music, this is just apropos to be named after him. We have 10 choirs so far. The special guest choir this year will be Xavier University of Louisiana's Gospel Choir, so the students will come and share their gifts and talents with us. And over the years, the cost of admission has been non-perishable food items, and we've raised over 200 tons of food for Second Harvest Food Bank through this event. So we just want to keep the blessings rolling, praising God down, and lifting up our fellow brothers and sisters that are in need with the food donations at the event.
That is amazing. So they have to bring a non-perishable food item. That is their admission to the festival. When is it?
Right. Saturday, September 16th at 6 p.m. at the historic Carver Theater.
Amazing. Definitely go out and take a look. You will be entertained. You won't be disappointed either. And amazing. I can't believe that's a lot of food. And I bet Natalie over at Second Harvest is just thrilled with that donation. Amazing.
Yeah, she loves it. She loves every time we do this. And it's a wonderful partnership and a way to collaborate as various archdiocesan entities together to serve our people.
This really sounds like something I want to attend. Coming in, I'm going to be coming in from Baton Rouge. I'm going to have my food items and everything. Where do I go? How do I get there?
The best way, if you're coming from Baton Rouge, is just to exit I-10 coming west. Then you'll exit right there at Orleans Avenue, because the Carver Theater is right there on Orleans Avenue.
Oh, good.
If you know where, if you know where Dookie Case is, the famous restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Two blocks away from Dookie Taste on Orleans.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, it may be. I may have to kill two birds with one stone there.
I knew that was coming.
There's Dave asking for directions.
Yeah, again. Right. I got a bonus.
I love it. Dr. Augustine, It is a great time, and you can actually find this flyer on our website at ccmedia.live. It's up on there, and you can take a look at the date and time and where it is as well if you're running to where you need to be right now. I wanted to also highlight some prominent Black Catholics in the United States and future Black Catholics. Can you kind of give us an update on where some of them are, in particular Mother Henriette DeLille?
Okay. Unfortunately, with the reality of the church, we do not have a African-American Catholic capital S saint, because I think some of the ladies and men that had to deal with me when I was growing up are saints in the church in their own way. God bless them, especially the Sisters of the Holy Family. God bless them. And their foundress, Venerable Mother Henriette DeLille, is one of the six on the road to canonization. Just most recently, Mother Mary Elizabeth Lang from Baltimore was made venerable. Much like our own Venerable Mother Henriette DeLille. Her status, they're all in progress. You know, God bless, and we pray that all of them, you know, become, you know, saints recognized by the church. I believe Venerable Mother Henriette DeLille, we're waiting on the confirmation of the second miracle in the process. In fact, I was with Sister Alicia, the Mother Superior, on Labor Day. I was over at the Mother House, and we were talking about some things.
Wow.
So it's all a progress, but of course, we as people of faith know this, the power of prayer. And so the community has been praying locally, nationally, internationally for this. We just had in this past July, the National Black Catholic Congress, which happens once every 5 years, yeah, where Black Catholics from around the country gather, and we recognize the six on the road to canonization, Sister Thea Bowman, Servant of God, Venerable Father Augustus Tolton from Chicago, Venerable Pierre Toussaint, mm-hmm, from New York, mm-hmm, Julia Greeley from Denver, Mother Henri DeLille from here, of course, and Mother Mary Elizabeth Lang from Baltimore. So we have these six holy men and women of God that are inspirations to not only the Black Catholic community, but the community as well, because if you look at what they did, especially during the times they did it, where even Black people were considered less than human legally on the, mm-hmm, books, mm-hmm, but yet they did not allow society to define them. They allowed their faith to define their lives, and how inspirational is that for us, right, even today?
Yes.
So for us, as we look at this, it's still a work in progress, but we know the power of prayer, and even on at the Gospel Fest, gospel music is a form of prayer, as I believe it was St. Augustine, but I mean, not my cousin. That's another Augustine. But he said, I think it's when you sing, you pray twice.
Yeah.
But either way, that's not a gift I have. But in the form of gospel music in our communities, the gospel music is a form of prayer. So come pray with us on the 16th as we come together as a community to do good work for through the music, but also through the food we collect for Second Harvest Food Bank.
Nice.
Awesome. I also wanted to highlight something we've talked about with Peter Finney last week when we were speaking of the Clarion Herald's updated issue, is Xavier, mm-hmm, University displaying some special collections of Bishop, mm-hmm, Ferdinand Chéri's items. Can you talk about that, yeah, and when that'll be displayed?
Amen. You know, Bishop Chéri was my mentor. He's the reason I moved back home.
Wow.
And, you know, after the office was vacated, him and Archbishop Amon approached me about taking back over the Office of Black Catholics. So that's why I'm back over there. But I love him. I miss him dearly. It was a challenge, of course, with the family, you know, when he got sick in those last 7 months of his life until, and then even after his passing, mm-hmm, hosting everybody from around the world that came for the funeral services because he was so loved. And so also helping and coordinating with the family, the stuff at Xavier. It's open right now, the third floor of the Xavier University of Louisiana Library. Right when you walk up the steps, it's right there. And even some of the items that him and I created together, I did not know were in the display. But it's a powerful testimony to him, his life, his work, mm-hmm, but his love of God. He did not, you know, just as you, when you talk to bishops, they don't know that they're going to be called to be a bishop, mm-hmm, right? They get the call, and mm-hmm, it's surprising. Mm-hmm. I remember 6 a.m. on the day after that Martin Luther King Day. We had just did the Martin Luther King Day of Service for the Office of Black Catholics and the Archdiocese. That next Monday morning, I'm thinking, I'm sleeping in. I'm getting a call from Father Ferd at the time at 6 a.m. to let me know he can officially tell me he's going to be our new auxiliary bishop. I'm like, are you serious? And he said, yes, come to the press conference in the archbishop's office at 10 a.m. I'm like, oh, well, so much for sleeping in today.
Wow.
And but it was a blessing. And to see his witness and his work throughout the world, but especially the impact it's had here on the archdiocese here, has been a blessing. He was and still is in a new realm, a spiritual shepherd. And I love him and I miss him. And so many of us are here. And so it's only an honor for us to dedicate the Gospel Fest to be named after him from this point on.
Truly an amazing man when you speak to him. Just so much joy. You can feel God's presence.
I remember that. Yeah.
And he was just such a special person to speak to, always with a smile on his face. So I'm so happy to hear this, that Xavier's doing this and that he will be honored over at the Gospel Festival again. Dr. Ansel, we are at the end of our segment with you. Dr. Ansel Augustine, Director of the Office of Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Where can people go to find out more information about what you do? There's so many other things that we did not cover, and also keep up with the various events happening in the Archdiocese.
So you can sign up for our weekly newsletter that goes out, that has all the information of stuff we do, but also throughout the Archdiocese. And you can sign up via our Office of Black Catholic Ministries website. There's a link there at nolacatholics.org/OBCM.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Ansel Augustine, with the Office of Black Catholic Ministries in the Archdiocese. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and pleasure.
Definitely go and support them. Again, you can find that Gospel Music Festival flyer at our website at ccmedia.live.
That's gotta
another
be
thing
fun.
You can do is, yeah.
That's gotta
well,
be fun.
And I also wanted to say that we love talking about different festivals and things happening over in our area. So definitely check them out.
Yeah.
You will not leave that festival.
Oh boy, you're going to be uplifted.
You're going to be energized.
Them. Yes. The music is incredible. I don't know if, Johnny, have you mm-hmm. seen it? Have you been to one? I have, and it has just been mind-blowing to sit there. That's a lot of talent that we have right around here.
So much talent.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, too, Gabby, the six people we mentioned, there's information on those if we want to read about those six, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely go on the website. Yes, go on their website. I linked in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. You can read up on these wonderful saints-to-be.
Yes.
There's some powerful people on that website as well. Wonderful. Okay, Dina Dow with the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis in the Diocese of Baton Rouge joins us when we return from the break. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Hey, good morning to you. So happy that you've joined us here on this Wednesday morning, and all of the world is ablaze with the glory of God, and it's within us, just waiting to break forth in whatever way we can proclaim that beauty and that art that is so vibrant so around us. And so this morning, we're really pleased to join with us again, Dina Dow, who's the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Hey, good morning, Dina.
Hey, good morning, Johnny. How are you doing today?
Oh, I tell you what, did you plan this? Because, you know, our saint of the day was a sculptor. Our saint of the day is a sculptor. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I've got a copy of the Joie de Vie this morning, stuff from St. Louis Art Society. I was just looking at it. Anyway, whatever. Let's talk about sacred art and the power of art and music, too. We just got off to discussing, you know, about the power of music and evangelizing. So Dina, let's pick up on that. What is it about art and music and beauty that we need to understand and can use?
Oh my God. Yeah, so we didn't plan this. Gabby's so gracious. She's like, what do you want to talk about? And I'm up here in Baltimore, Maryland, visiting my daughter and her husband before I go to some meetings at the USCCB. And we went to the National Gallery of Art on Monday, on Labor Day, and there's so much sacred art there. I was like, I cannot not talk about this. And then, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit guides us, and that today's saint is a sculptor. So just phenomenal how I was telling Jeff Blackwell that I'm always just catching up to the Holy Spirit because he is way ahead of me.
But, he's on the move.
Incredibly, this has been such a year of art for our family. My husband and I pilgrimaged with Father Chris Decker to Italy, and you're just surrounded and consumed by sacred art and music and architecture in that country, and specifically here in the United States, too, you know, and going to museums. And, you know, it's interesting, in the Catechism, the section of art, talking about truth, beauty, and sacred art, is under Part 3 of the Life of Christ, under the Eighth Commandment, which talks about truth. And so it's something profound to think, I know, so paragraphs 2500 to 2503. That's everybody's homework today, to read this section on truth, beauty, and sacred art. Because it talks about how the practice of goodness is accompanied by spontaneous spiritual joy and moral beauty. So truth is beautiful in and of itself. Truth is words, truth of expression. And then we talk about how, created in the image of God, man also expresses the truth of his relationship with God, the Creator, by the beauty of his artistic works. So even when we're little kids drawing, like our first pictures, we are created by God in his image and likeness, we are creating that which is beautiful and raises up our eyes to his glory.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
Edina, this is David. I'm jumping in here for a second. One of my favorite talks that Bishop Robert Barron gives is that very thing: how art can draw us closer to God. And he talks about people walking into a cathedral, Notre Dame Cathedral, I think he was using it, looking up at just the rose window that they have up there, and saying something is going on inside them, and they know it, and they know there's something much bigger here, right? Isn't that what sacred art does?
Yeah, it's so beyond us, too. And both of my daughters are extremely creative in art. One's an animator. And it just amazes me how the things that come out of her intellect and her emotions and her experience come out on the screen. And it's amazing to me that whenever we go into a church, we get the story, right? That's why sacred art is so beautiful and so profound in our churches, even in our homes, which is where it really kind of want to steer us to, is that we behold the beauty of sacred art in churches, in structure and architecture, in music, in images. But where are we doing that in our homes? Like, do we walk into our home and we see the beauty of the artist that's glorifying God and what has been given to them by God and their sacred expression of their relationship with God? So it's so very important. And the joke at our house is, my husband says, if we put another piece of sacred art up on the walls, our home's going to look like a monastery. And I'm like, what's wrong with that?
You're right.
Yeah, that's the problem with this.
There's so much. You know, and we have, you know, the St. Louis, the Ninth Art Society, you know, and the region in Louisiana and beyond, right, is really calling to mind, you know, the opportunity for us to not only like participate in art, but also promote it within our children, within our families, and within our community. Because even someone that may not necessarily attend a Catholic church steps into a cathedral or a church and is just, your breath is taken away. Like, yeah. What is this all about?
As it should
you
be.
Know, from the structures of the baptistries, you know, to the stained glass, to all of the stations of the cross, every movement that we make in the church, and even in reality, is something that has been made by a designer, by an artist. Mm-hmm. And so there's such a depth to that. So sacred art, it says in Catechism 2502, is true and beautiful when its form corresponds to a person's vocation, invoking and glorifying in faith and adoration the transcendent mystery of God, which surpasses invisible beauty of truth and love visible in Christ, which reflects, of course, God himself. So it's just amazing, you know, to take time to really appreciate through music, which the Gospel Festival is like, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yes, itself. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also, too, how are we teaching the faith to others through art? You know, how are we expressing ourselves through that? And it could be through anything from icons. I know Jacob Zumo does a lot of art, like lessons, but within the lessons, he's echoing the faith. He's catechizing as these people are painting these images, people that have probably never picked up a paintbrush before, you know, and so really taking the time, you know, to really dive into and look around, like open your eyes and look around, because the first form of art, of course, is creation. Like that's God's handiwork. You know, you just look around. There's so much art. God is just completely present, right? And then within that, you know, we enter into the mystery of God as we express ourselves in whatever kind of art. I mean, I am not an artist at all, but I love music and just looking at the sacred art. And I was impressed, like up here in D.C., how much sacred art is in that National Gallery. Yeah. I was really taken aback. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It does seem like there is a renaissance going on with Catholic sacred art, but we need to support it, right? I mean, a lot of people are taking risks, in a sense, to do this. And so, there's opportunities for us to just kind of keep this movement going and this beautiful, talented folks, particularly in our area. We need to support them, right, Dina?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And even starting with our children, you know, our youngest, our children and our grandchildren, putting a crayon or a pencil in their hand and teaching them, you know, the beauty of just using their creativity and whatever comes out of that. and mm-hmm. and then, you know, saying, oh, that is so beautiful, and, you know, have them draw trees and what they see, because it's the transcendent coming through us, you know, and expressing, you know, how we're seeing things. And it could be different, a range of emotions. You know, it's very therapeutic sometimes. But just sitting and meditating in front of a piece of art is just profound, because then you look at the mystery of, well, first of all, how did they do that? Number one, technique is amazing. But yes, number two, the colors and the dynamics and the commitment to wanting to tell the story of that experience and capture that in that moment. So scenes like the nativity, you know, have those up during Advent. Actually, have a nativity scene up all year round because the birth of Christ, the incarnation, you know.
Wonderful,
and then crucifixes, like sculptures and woodwork, crucifixes, you know, the importance of having those hanging in our hands.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and walking with your children, grandchildren, just walk through the, you know, before, after Mass and talking about the pictures. I tell you, they just look up and they're, what an opportunity to form them in the truth. In, as this catechism says someplace else, infinite simplicity standing before us.
Exactly.
Well, Dina, thank you so much for your insights on this. And, hey, enjoy your trip up
there.
We will, Start meetings on Thursday, so I'll be praying for you guys. Pray for me. Thanks so much for what you do, for sharing that truth. You're just such a blessing.
Thank you, Dina. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, stay with us. Jason Angelet's going to join us next. He's the Director of Faith and Marriage at the Willwoods Community, talking about some upcoming retreats.
48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And right now, I have a good close friend of my whole family, too, Jason Angelet. He's the Director of Faith and Marriage for the Willwoods Community. And we're going to be talking about marriage retreats. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, y'all. It is so good to be with you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Sure thing. Now, I'm speaking from the heart when I say these marriage retreats that are coming up are fantastic, and I can't recommend them enough. You got a bunch more this year?
Oh, praise God. Yes, we have actually two scheduled for next weekend.
Wow.
And we have a family retreat in October, and then we have another retreat at the end of October. So we are busy in the next year. I think we have 14 or 15 on the books.
Okay.
So praise God.
Now, you said you have two next weekend. How does that work? Because I thought it was like a weekend experience.
Right. So primarily we are at the St. Joseph Abbey Retreat Center, primarily. That's our home, where we host the retreats. The place is just amazing. The renovations are awesome. It's just accommodations are great. But sometimes we'll try other locations to try to get more weekends in, and we actually have a retreat at the Archdiocese Retreat Center, the Cynical at the Lake.
Wow.
And that's going to be so the 15th and 16th. And what we're trying to, we partnered up with the Office of Black Catholics and the Family Life Office to offer a retreat kind of sponsoring with the Black Catholics ministry.
Wonderful.
So we're trying to just do what we can to reach out and invite, encourage, and welcome as many couples as we can this year.
Well, let's talk about the retreat itself. I mean, I know that y'all have plenty. I know that they are wonderful. The grounds are beautiful, but just talk about the structure of the retreat itself and what it does.
So it's very relaxed, very laid back. It's a great space to just be rejuvenated in your faith and your relationship with God. It's that quiet space that we need, and so we kind of keep a nice pace throughout the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We have three presentations that we'll offer on a Saturday, and at the end of each presentation, we have a time for the couples to go off to their own spot, wherever they want to go, whether back to their bedrooms, whether they go for a walk and go sit by the pond, somewhere underneath an oak tree, and just find that quiet space where the two of them can kind of talk about some of the questions that were brought up from the presentation. And so it's that there's moments like that. There's moments of prayer. There's Mass. There's confession. There's we get to do a little tour of the Abbey Church. We get to come back and have some great, delicious dinners and meals. And we actually a couple weekends ago, we had a band come play Saturday night. So it was really nice. We brought out the wine. and had like jazzy love songs on the back. And I mean, it was really nice. On our Facebook page, I posted some of the pictures, but it was such a reflection thing, like this whole mini cosm of like a married life. You have interaction with other couples at meal times, you're building fellowship, but there's also times for individual prayer, but there's also times for coming together as a couple. It's a chance too to relax, but also too to enjoy. So
yeah,
it really is just an amazing opportunity that I think every couple should do at least once a year.
Yeah.
Go on a married couples retreat to strengthen their relationship, to strengthen their faith, and to help them have that strength and energy that they need to do all the many things that married life and family life requires.
Well, you're talking the stuff that you listed that goes on during the marriage retreat weekend sounds like it's jam-packed and I'm blowing and going, but it's really not.
Yeah.
You've got it spaced out to where it's very peaceful. So a lot gets done, but it's not it's not hectic. That's the part that I like.
It's like a long date.
Yes. Right, exactly.
Yeah, it is like a long date. No, you're absolutely right. And look, it's also the ones that I have been on the grounds of St. Joseph's Abbey. Talk about that location.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I mean, it's holy grounds. I mean, you can't beat that. So as soon as you cross that little bridge that crosses over the little river down below, you know, the Bogafalia, Bogachita? I keep getting those things confused.
I think it's the Boga.
You cross over.
Yeah. Boga something. Yeah.
Bogafalia.
But Boga, right, exactly.
It's a pretty little river.
You cross over that little river, and you enter on this 1,200 acres of Abbey land, and you cross over, and you just kind of, everybody says it's like you step into this place of peace.
Yep.
There's been such a beautiful amount of prayer being done on those grounds that I had a monk friend of mine say one time, if you know, there's been prayer lifted up every day for over 100 years, if we can't, the lay faithful, if we can't step on those grounds and somehow take advantage of those graces and those gifts, and he says, then what are we doing here?
Right.
And so it's a special place to kind of retreat, like our Lord retreated to the mountaintop with the Father, and this is our chance to kind of retreat to the spiritual mountaintop, because I don't think we're too much above sea level, but we can retreat to that space and have that great opportunity to reflect, to grow, to have that freedom to be away from so much of the commotion that wants to pull our attention, wants to pull our focus away from what's most important, which is our faith. And for those of y'all who are married, it's your faith, and then it's your marriage.
And then I want to talk about, I love where we went spiritually. We went deep. We went and into our own relationship. We have been married 44 years. Boy, I hope I got that right. Yes. Anyway, I think we've been, So, but
wow.
there's always something revealed. We're constantly, constantly learning about each other. And then we go deep, and then you're sharing something about your faith, which is the best intimacy there is. But I got to tell you, the retreat center, the renovations that you've made and everything, the rooms are so comfortable. And like I said, the place is so peaceful. I can't recommend it enough. And then you said you have 3 speakers throughout the weekend, am I right?
Right. So we have 3 speaker couples, and then either right now it's been Dr. Mario or myself. We kind of rotate the weekends.
Right.
And it's just this great opportunity to go into a deeper space in your relationship. And sometimes I think people are afraid of that. And the thing is that marriage, God made marriage very strong. Like, he make it unbreakable. And it's one of those things that we need to trust God, trust in the sacrament, and trust where God wants to lead, because those opportunities are so beautiful, and they grow, allow your relationship to grow, and it's so magnificent. But if we can be afraid of that sometimes, or maybe we kind of think that, yeah, you know what, we got this. You know, there's nothing wrong with us. It's like, okay, hold on now. Like, come on, we can all grow. I remember giving a presentation one time, and there was a couple, they were married for 70 years. And I looked at them, I was like, hold on a second. Like, y'all need to come up and start speaking to me. And they said, no, Jason, I think everybody should be learning, no matter how old they are.
Yes,
or
yes,
how young
yes.
they are.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like, great, God. I was like, did everybody hear that? They were prepared. Gotta keep learning.
Now it's from people check in on Friday night, or do they check in Saturday morning? When do they do that?
Sometimes you We do some weekends, just a few. We do a Friday to a Sunday.
Okay.
But then most weekends are Saturday to Sunday. But we do have a Friday night option to kind of get a head start on that weekend getaway.
That's what I recommend.
You can come in after. Yeah, right, exactly, right. It is, there's nothing on the calendar. It's basically just come on in. You know, the rooms are ready. Just sit and just start relaxing and finding that quiet space together.
Yes.
And then by the time, if you can do that, if you can come on that Friday evening on that option, then what happens is that you start Saturday even more refreshed and more open and more ready for what the weekend provides.
Really good. Jason Anzalet, thanks a bunch. Where do they go to register?
Faithandmarriage.org. Faithandmarriage.org. You can find all kinds of stuff. We have podcasts. We have content. We have different resources, marriage enrichment, all kinds of great work that's done by Dr. Mario. So check us out.
Thank you, Jason. God bless.
God bless you guys. Wow. Thank you all so much.
Highly recommended, y'all.
Highly, yes. Amen.
Cool.
Let's go out in prayer today, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have made all of us in your image and likeness, instilling in us a desire to find you and to come to know you in every way possible, in nature that inspires us, in art and song that lift up our eyes, in all things that are good, true, and beautiful. Form us more fully, Lord, into your image. Sculpt us into the person you desire for us to be, and may we live outwardly the beauty you have placed within us to bring glory to your name. Amen.
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 Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.